This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, it is Wednesday and it's time for Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. I love doing this show so much. I hope you guys also love it as much as me. And I feel we've really covered such wonderful parenting topics. And please keep on sending me suggestions online, on my social media, or to the station. We are keen to hear what you want to talk about. Today, a topic that I feel comes up quite regularly, almost in every show, it makes a small appearance and it is talked about a lot more, luckily. But I feel, I mean, and again, it was either this week or last week, the time in my life is really blending quite nicely, that again, I was shocked and surprised by someone's reaction with regards to postnatal depression. And that's what the topic is about today. Like I said, it sneaks in quite regularly in lots of different conversations that we have when we talk about sleep, when we talk about anything parenting. It often has a feature. And that's why we have spoken to about this before on the show, definitely. But I felt more airtime would not hurt this discussion, because I did have a conversation with someone, like I said, a week ago or so, and I was surprised at, because I spoke to a mom and she definitely showed signs. And I mean, she told me she was going to go see someone. So, and because she says that she feels she has postnatal depression, and my immediate response was, wow, I am so proud of you and so impressed that at 4 weeks, a baby is 4 weeks old, that you are already able to see the signs of postnatal depression and that you're doing something about it. And she burst out crying, because for her, she was just so relieved that someone, and she said this to me, she was so relieved what my response was and how accepting I was of it, because this was not the impression she was getting from the people around her. I mean, her husband was really great about it and everything. So it's not that everyone around her was frowning upon it, but it was. She was just so, like I said, relieved. And I mean, I felt proud of myself as well for my reaction, but it is really because I talk about this subject so much. And as you know, that I do this program and I am very intertwined in the parenting world. So I feel I am so empathetic about this, because I know it is a real thing. But that's why it's so important to keep on talking about it, because it is a real thing. And the more we talk about it, the more all of us will have that empathetic, great response when someone shares something like that. Or even if they don't even share it with us, but we realize that there are maybe signs that we can alert them to that fact. And that's why I am speaking to practicing psychologist and founder of the Parenting Partner, Fiona Doman. Hello, Fiona. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Yolandi. Thanks for having me again. It's such a pleasure and a great topic. I want to say, especially this time of the year, because depression in general just picks up here by September in general. So I think it's a great time to talk about this.
Yes, and I mean, it's actually interesting that you're saying that, because someone was asking me about how are things going. And I said the word, in Afrikaans, the word I feel is better to use, but I use the word baie. This year has just been a lot. And I don't want to use, purposefully, I didn't want to use the word busy, mm-hmm. Because I feel there's a very negative connotation to busy. And it hasn't been all negative stuff that has happened. Obviously, there's some things definitely that can be better. But in the end, there was a lot of great stuff that has also happened, but it was just a lot. So I'm glad, again, also, I feel already a little bit like a load is lifted when you're saying we are entering the pressure time, because for me, it's especially both my kids have one in September, one in December birthdays. I feel that also adds to happy birthday to your child as well.
yeah, even good things can cause stress. So, yes.
So maybe you should have, first of all, a little shout out to your daughter for her birthday today.
I will send her your message.
Yes, but I do think, again, it is a very relevant topic to talk about. And let's start with asking the very important question about what is the difference between baby blues and postnatal depression?
Yeah, so sometimes I'm almost caught off guard when people do not really know about the difference. And I think it's so important because baby blues usually happen within the first few days and more or less up to 2 weeks after your baby's birth. So usually it's just four emotions, main emotions that will show up in those first few days, and mainly because of the change in hormones. So those emotional changes will be like you feel more irritated, so you can snap like very easily. For small little things can irritate you a lot. You feel more tired, so low in energy. You feel like crying a little bit more than usual, but it's on and off. And then also you feel very like up and down in your emotions. So crying now, then later, like in half an hour, you will be all smiles, feel like fulfilled and happy. And then you can be angry again. So it's really a roller coaster of emotions in the first few days, but mainly because of the change in hormones, the change, the adjustment that you're getting used to, maybe the change in sleeping patterns and just being more awake. I always say it's probably also the adrenaline and not the additional hormones. But of course, those things can contribute. But usually, yeah, by day 3 and 4, when you start to maybe produce more milk, your hormones will spike and the emotions will spike. But usually by day 10 and definitely by day 14, for baby blues, your emotions will start to settle. With postpartum depression, we usually look at more towards 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks when your emotions change. Then you know probably, okay, it's not baby blues anymore because it's a month in already. And then when you start to feel very tired and very sad and very low in mood, you feel lack of energy, low in mood. And also a lot of the time, if that happens, you will start to feel like you are doubting yourself. You are not sure if you are cut out for this job as a mom or a dad. And, of course, like a lot of self-doubt. So there's a lot of symptoms, more symptoms than four, as with the baby blues. But those three are the main ones. Those self-doubting feelings, the crying more and feeling very low in mood. And, yeah, feeling sad. And then the lack of energy.
You know, and like you said, it's then also beyond a point where it's like 4 weeks. But do you have to feel like this all the time, or is it a little bit of an up and down feeling still?
Yeah. So usually with postpartum depression, like with depression, you will feel like that, the low mood most of the day for the bigger part of the day. So of course, maybe you will feel better for, let's say, for 2 or 3 hours, you are busy, you are out, maybe, you know, and then you feel a little bit better. But once you go back home, maybe, or maybe even while you are still out, you can start to feel that low mood again. Yeah. So it's really not up and down a lot. For most part of the day, you feel that way, and more days than not. And then, of course, for a diagnosis, those feelings must be there at least for 2 weeks before we can say it's definitely maybe we should look at a diagnosis and the other criteria as well.
Yeah. How common is postnatal depression?
So, Yolani, quite interesting. It's actually about 7 to 14% of new mothers that will experience the, or that will experience it to such an extent where it's a diagnosis of postpartum depression. So 7 to 14%. So that's about 1 in 8, 1 in 7 mothers. But of course, a lot of people experience mild depression. And I think a lot of the time people feel like, okay, if it's not full-blown postpartum depression or depression, I can't go and search for help, or I should just cope with this. But actually, they say about 30% of new parents, moms and dads, can experience mild depression in especially the first few months, 3 to 6 months, usually after the baby's birth.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. It's brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
You are on 101.9 Chai FM with me, your host, Yolandi Becker, and we're talking parenting, as always, on a Wednesday. If you've just joined me, I've been speaking to Fiona Doman, who's a practicing psychologist, talking about the very important topic of postnatal depression. And as I mentioned before, I feel the more we talk about things like this, and it's uncomfortable, obviously, to talk about certain topics and when it comes to our mental health, because I feel there's still a lot of stigma that goes with mental health issues. And it's, for me, very pertinent as well. Sometimes when I think about it, I often say, for me, it's very interesting how in this day and age, how we perceive good mental health. And I say that to people very often, where I'm like surprised, because we think of someone whose mental health is good is that they're always happy and content. And to be honest, I'm pretty sure that's the definition of a psychopath. The reality is that good mental health means that you have the appropriate reaction considering the situation, meaning that you should be sad if someone close to you passes away. You should be angry if someone punches you in the face. So having the appropriate reaction and emotional response considering the situation is what. And in some ways, and I think Fiona was telling us about the signs and symptoms of postpartum depression, is that we sometimes, you know, in that beginning part, it's normal to feel overwhelmed when you've just had a baby. So there is a certain period of time where these feelings are, of course, normal. But it should also change, and you should start getting the hang of things, for lack of a better word, at some point. And if that doesn't happen, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. And Fiona, that brings me to my next question. But before you, I'm going to ask it, I also just wanted to invite everyone to please be part of this conversation. As always, I want your insights or your share. If you, even if you wanted to be anonymous, let me know. That's absolutely fine. Did you experience baby blues, postnatal depression? Do you know of someone who has postnatal? Because that's definitely, we want to talk about that as well. What can you do as a friend or a partner if you suspect that your friend or partner has postnatal depression? What can we do about that? But my question now is, but because we spoke about the signs and the symptoms of postpartum depression, and I think even just with depression, for me, there's always seems to be this idea that something must have caused it. You know what I'm saying, Fiona? Someone only has depression when they were abused as a child or something like that. There's like this weird perception that some life-altering event must have happened for you to now have depression. And it, obviously, those life-altering events can cause depression, don't get me wrong. But more often than not, it's not necessarily the case that that's the cause of the postnatal depression. So what is the causes of postnatal depression? Having a baby.
Maybe
we would all have it.
Yeah, so it's not really the baby that's causing the depression. But I think definitely the adjustment and the unknown. Of course, just from my experience from practice, it's really like that feeling of being like in new waters, and you really don't know what to expect. So, of course, then you are going to have a heightened response almost to everything. But with taking that, like leaving that and just keeping that in the like the backs of our heads to really look at the contributing factors, we know that, for instance, if there was a difficult birth, or there's birth trauma, or even if you are struggling with breastfeeding a lot and you have to also do that, get to know that process, and also maybe still in physical pain, that can trigger the depression to start. But definitely, as you said, also, if you feel like you are not getting the support that you actually really need, of course, if there's like relationship issues or whatever, it's going to have a bigger impact. So definitely those can contribute. A previous diagnosis of anxiety or depression or bipolar disorder also heightens your chances with up to 30%. Sure. So, of course, a previous diagnosis, But really, I would say the main things that can contribute is actually just not having support, feeling more stress and that adjustment in general, your history, your own history, your family history, and then if there was any surprises or, you know, like with the birth trauma or the breastfeeding or the hospitalization of a baby maybe for a few days that you didn't expect, something like that can definitely trigger it. I think also you mentioned like a loss. If you lose someone, you are going to more likely experience something like depression. And they do actually say if there's a loss or there has been a loss in the past year of a close person, that can actually also trigger depression, postpartum depression. Just because you are struggling with that question about life and death, you know, the meaning to life and all of that. And then, of course, for males, for dads, they do say that if there's any financial strain, that can heighten the chances as well. And also, if the partner, the mother, is depressed, the chances for the father to become depressed is also, it heightens with 50%.
Oh, wow, that's so interesting. Oh, yes. Wow.
So quite a lot of factors, but of course, also the hormones will play a part. You know, but so it's a lot of different factors. And I think also just to keep that in the back of your head and to know, okay, if there's one of these present, then I should be maybe more vigilant about certain symptoms, maybe starting by week 4 or 6.
Oh, okay. Is it always necessary to treat postnatal depression with medication?
Mm-hmm. Not really. You know, Yolandi, I think it's a preference thing also. Sometimes people will say, okay, no, but I want to get something that will make me feel really better maybe within a week or two. Then, of course, medication is an option and there's safe options even while you are breastfeeding. And your gynecologist would probably be the first person to talk to in that regard. But, of course, I always say medication will help. But probably you would want to get off the medication at a certain point. And for that reason, I would say maybe also to look at a routine change or adjusting something in your routine that's maybe not working for you, to get your support system in place, to express the emotions in general, in any case, even if you feel like more lighter or not that heavy anymore, just to share the experience before you maybe started to use medication or just what you went through. You know, to get some relief for the emotions that have been building up in any case. And then, of course, lifestyle changes. If you have to get yourself checked out to see if there's any, like, supplements that you should take, you know, to change your eating plan, maybe just also.
Because that's also a good point. I mean, so many times when you're a new mom, even just drinking water sometimes, like goes out of your head. And I mean, it's such a big impact what eating and not eating the entire day, especially when you're breastfeeding. I mean, your body went through something huge. Mm-hmm. Skipping meals and things like that, it seems so silly, but can have a huge impact on the your mental well-being, of course, as well.
Yeah, definitely. The basics, more or less, exercise, healthy eating, keeping hydrated, you know, those things also go a long way, and that's for a lifestyle, a positive lifestyle change in general. I think sometimes, as you said, Yolandi, it takes a while for us to actually also realize and for our bodies to realize that we are not functioning on the same level as before children. And especially with a little baby and breastfeeding and all the additional tasks and, you know, just the mental energy that goes into that. Of course, your body will need a little bit more. No. So usually also medication, probably if you leave the depression untreated for a while, of course the emotions will pick up or snowball a little bit and then maybe medication will be needed. But that's why I always also say the sooner you can get help, the better. Like that person you referred to, like within 4 weeks, she said, okay, I'm feeling a change. I shouldn't feel like this, or I don't want to feel like this. And she reached out, or she shared at least what she's experiencing.
Yeah, and I mean, that's like, I think someone actually once shared with me, and I thought, and I mean, it kind of stayed with me as well, how they described depression in general. It wasn't even just postnatal depression. And someone said to me, in some cases, especially when it's a hormonal imbalance that's causing certain feelings make you feel sad all the time. And they kind of described it in the way of, it's very much like diabetes. Mm-hmm. You can be the healthiest, most active person in the world, which you should be when you are a diabetic, of course, as well. It helps a lot with your health if you are doing those things. So again, it needs to be a holistic approach. But some, even the most healthy, most active, most wonderful diabetics still require insulin. Mm-hmm. And that is sometimes it's the necessary option to take medication to help manage those hormonal imbalances for sure. But again, I don't think any psychiatrist, psychologist, or anyone working in the mental health like scope would ever do that in isolation. It is very much always recommended as a holistic type of thing that you're looking at. Mm-hmm. But yes, you also mentioned, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 Chai FM. This is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. If you've just joined me, don't worry. You can actually go listen to this as a podcast on chaifm.com afterwards, but don't go anywhere now. We are very much interested to share a lot more information with you, because I've been speaking to founder of The Parenting Partner and practicing psychologist Fiona Doman about postnatal depression, this very important topic that is very common. I mean, she mentioned earlier, it's like 14 to 20% of women actually experience postnatal depression. And I mean, in all honesty, I actually think that number must be much higher, because that's just the diagnosed postnatal depression. It's not the most people that don't even get it diagnosed, which I feel is for sure the case. So I'm very sure it is a lot more. But you mentioned some of the things, like as a person or as a mom in this case, what you can do, like exercise and changing some lifestyle routines and stuff. But let's talk about the other aspect of it, of if you are the partner or maybe a friend, you've talked now about what the signs and symptoms are, but I mean, it's like, you can't just, I mean, I guess for your partner, you could say, hey, I think you have postnatal depression. I don't think, but it might not be that easy. How can you approach a topic, and how can you support your partner or your friend when you realize they might have postnatal depression?
Yeah. So usually also, I think, apart from not knowing what to expect from when you become a parent, so it's difficult to really say, okay, I think really now it is depression, because it's a new adjustment period. You really don't know if I should feel this way or not.
Even if you're your partner, I mean, obviously they're also going through exactly the same thing or a similar experience. Mm-hmm. You might be too drowning in your own hole to realize what your partner is going. I don't know. That's my feeling sometimes as well.
So I think, of course, the number one tip in any case for mom and dad and other people will be to keep the communication lines open, because the mother or the father might not know what they are experiencing is maybe postnatal depression. But when you start to talk about it, then maybe you realize, okay, but whether it is this or not, I don't want to feel this way and I feel like I'm not coping. So maybe I should get some additional support. So I would say definitely keeping the communication lines open from your own side as a mother or a father, but also just from like friendships or family members, checking in on the new mother and father. Actually 55%, more or less between 50 and 55% of parents in retrospect say they would have appreciated more support in those first few months. So it's quite high. It's half of parents actually say, you know what, we coped, but I would have appreciated actually that family and friends checked in a little bit more or offered support more.
Yeah.
And you know what, Yolandi, I also want to say, yes, check in, communicate, you know, be the listening ear. But sometimes the buck doesn't stop there and you should actually just do something.
Yeah.
You know, bring those cooked dinners or take the baby for a while and tell your friend, go and shower, it's fine. You know, I want to cuddle a little bit with the baby. Because sometimes also it's difficult if you get that opportunity and a person asks once, maybe, you know, do you need support? It's still difficult to say yes in that first instance when they ask, to say, yes, actually, you know what I do. But sometimes if people say, you know what, I'm going to take the baby, go and shower, I want to do this, or whatever. Yeah. Or for a walk by yourself, or you can go to the shop and take your time. That's actually what they need. And a lot of the time in practice, I also see between partners, but like with moms or mom-in-law, mother-in-law, that comes over to visit, sometimes the new mother especially feels like, if I don't say specifically what must happen, then no one actually asks or help. No one is taking initiative apart from me. So sometimes I feel just to be more observant when you are around the mother, to see what you can do without her asking. Because that then feels like someone is seeing me, someone is also looking after me and my needs without me asking.
No, and I mean, that's really true. And I think we can all be better friends like that. If I, in retrospect, also think of some of the, but it is also, like you said, sometimes, and I mean, especially, I mean, I think within Jewish community and within Afrikaans community as well, we're so extremely polite. And I feel sometimes we don't want to overstep the bounds, because it's also, and I mean, I remember also with myself, and I mean, I can also say I could have probably done with a little bit more support in some ways I also feel my husband was really, I mean, maybe I've also already forgotten, it's quite some time ago. But I also feel that as a new mom, and I think that's also something maybe just to share, is that I felt that I want to show people I can do it and that I am fine. And sometimes I feel like, and I've said this many times before on this show as well, life is not meant to be done alone. And that's especially, and I mean, there's this old saying that we've all heard, it takes a village to raise a child. And I, for some other reason, in the day and age we're living in, and with social media, everything that's happening, we have this idea that we need to do it on our own. Mm-hmm. And we should be able to do it on our own, because that gives you like some kind of special mother kudos or something. And I think that sometimes also the thing is that, that's my kind of perception sometimes when I go to a friend or something, is that I feel like I don't want them to feel inadequate if I'm saying, give me the baby. And then, because in all honesty, I think that's what I would have felt. It's like someone feels like I'm struggling and I can't do it. And I think that's also important to voice that, because again, I do feel that life is not meant to be done alone, and we shouldn't, like try to do it on our own.
Yeah.
But more on this just now after the ad break.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Yes, you're on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And it's been such a beautiful conversation today, an important topic, talking about postnatal depression and just emotional states. I mean, there's lots of – it's emotional time, I feel, after having a child. Even more so when you have the second one, and I believe even more so when you have the third. I don't know. Luckily, I don't know. Three children, but it is an adjustment period after having children. If you've missed this conversation, don't despair. It will be available as a podcast on highfm.com later, and I will definitely also share it on our social media pages as well, because again, I feel the more we speak about this, the more empathetic we can be when it comes up, and we can avoid certain situations. I mean, we all know about the extreme cases of postnatal depression, where it can go to this dark road if it's not dealt with. And I feel that if as communities we can create these support structures, those tragic things can be avoided. I truly believe it. And that's also why it is important that we can identify the signs as our community members, whether it's your friend, your partner, and that we open up our minds a little bit in our response when we talk about it. Because it's very quick that we can just say you have to think yourself out of it, or it's just a phase or something like that, and where it just gets pushed down, where we might just, you again, start a slippery slope in the wrong direction. But I have been speaking to counseling psychologist Fiona Doman about this issue. And before you go, Fiona, because I do feel you've got such a nice platform as well with different things. I mean, especially preparing, and we've spoken about that before, preparing for parenthood. That is also a podcast on our website, which you can go check out at your own leisure. But yes, please go check out. Where can they find you, Fiona, before you go?
Yeah, so the easiest way is to go onto my website, Fiona Doman Psychologist, or on social media on the Parenting Partner, or fiona.doman@gmail.com. You can also mail me there. Yeah, but all the contact information is on like all the platforms, so website, social media.
Yeah, and I mean, as you could hear, I mean, I maybe it's also because I know Fiona for a while now already, but I already beforehand was speaking way too much with her, and she definitely has that temperament where you are just a supporting structure, everything about you. And which is the very nice part as well, is that Fiona does consult also online. So it doesn't really matter where you are, you can contact her. And she's very responsive with all those type of things. And of course, she's also a mother. So thank you so much, Fiona, for joining me again and talking about this very important topic. I really appreciate it. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks, Fiona. Bye.